Om Shanti. Yeah, this session is on the secrets of lasting happiness, and it's a workshop, which means I'm not going to be doing anything, you're going to be doing it all, and it's quite an important topic, happiness, because really it's what Brahmin life is meant to be about. Brother talks about the nourishment of happiness in Brahmin life, and we're all getting ready for the land of happiness, and really we can only get there if we're happy beforehand, because we have to develop the sanskars of being happy now. So hands up those who are happy all the time. You can be happy, yes, but happy all the time. Yeah, so one or two. Well, that's very good then. So maybe you should give the class rather than me. because I'm not happy all the time. And am I speaking too fast or okay for you? Is it okay? Yeah, all right. And really, it's part of the paradox of being a Brahmin, because it's all meant to be about happiness, and we're meant to have sparkling star in the middle of the foreheads, sparkling happy eyes, and a lovely smile. So can you just check the smile of the person next to you, please? What's their smile like? Yeah, where's your smile? Ah, it's just come out, right, okay. And people at the back there, could you just move forward? Because I don't want to have to keep walking up here to see if you're smiling or not. Let's have a look. I know there's one person who has an amazing smile, so really you should be doing this rather than me. So just come here and yeah. This is Mr. Happiness. So this is what happiness looks like. And Ender, he has the good fortune of always being like this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Almost always. He's always like this. So he is my model of happiness. Look, the eyes are sparkling and smiling. There's a nice smile here. And he's always like this, and so is his wife. So that's even more amazing, isn't it? You're with a wife who is happy and smiling like you. So what's the secret of your success?
Be yourself. Always. Always. Whatever the circumstances are, what people are around you, just be a soul, be happiness, be peaceful, be who you are. Then it's easy.
Good, thank you. And did it take you long to learn all that then?
No, it's an easy lesson.
An easy lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's easy for you, but that doesn't mean it's easy for the rest of us. So thank you very much. Good. So give them a clap, because they're very good, yeah. So, yeah, really, we have our aim to be happy, and we're very lucky because we've got the knowledge to help us to be happy, and the knowledge also helps us to understand why we may not be happy. And it's quite challenging in some ways, isn't it? Because for the last, 1,200 years, we've been very unhappy. And we've gone through all sorts of things, and in this birth probably we've been through a lot as well. And then we've got our sanskars, which we have to deal with. And then we've got other people's sanskars to deal with. And then we've got all this pressure on being as happy as possible, as quickly as possible, because the end is coming, and we're going to have strong scenes in front of us, and we have to be happy when the world is being blown up and everybody is being killed. So it's quite a challenge. Would you agree or not? Yes. So we've been put in a very, really a unique position, I would say, where we have to develop all sorts of techniques and knowledge and awareness in order to make a super leap into happiness and lasting happiness and unshakable, immovable happiness where nothing can actually have an impact on us. So it's a bit of a tall order, and I'm not sure why I'm doing the workshop on it. As I say, I think the words just came out of my mouth when I was asked to do a workshop, and Sister Mira said, well, what are you going to do it on? And the secrets of happiness came out of my mouth, so it was nothing to do with me. And they say you always have to teach what you need to learn. So it's made me do a bit of churning on it, and the idea is hopefully you will do a bit of churning on it, so you'll have a better idea about it as well. So, just to get us in the mood, I'd like you to reflect on these questions and write down your answers on a piece of paper. Everybody's got some paper, haven't they? And a pen, I hope. Have you got pen and paper? Alright, okay. So, if you need paper, I've got some paper here if anybody needs a piece of paper. Because it's important to write these down, because in a minute you're going to be sharing your answers with somebody. So, the first question is, you know, what is happiness for you as a soul? What is happiness for you? Because if you don't know what it is, then you won't know whether you've got it or not, will you? So, I'd like to reflect for a moment. What is happiness for you? And write down your answer. And we'll all probably have a different answer. And no one answer is the correct answer, because we all have different perspectives which are true for us. So when you've written down the answer to that question, if you'd then like to ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you generally? You know, 1 being always miserable or sad, and 10 being always intoxicated. So just ask yourself, where am I on the scale from 1 to 10? And your subconscious or your intuition will give you a number. You know, mine is probably 6 or 7 overall. I might have days of or moments of 10, and I definitely have days of 1 or 2, but a lot of the time I'm probably... Sorry? Well, just think back. Generally speaking, at this moment in time in your life, yeah, feeling really. It doesn't have to be scientifically accurate. Yeah, 10 is the happiest. 10 is always intoxicated. So we know one or two people over here who've got scores of 9 or 10. And then we know someone who's got a score of 6 or 7, that's me. And then the rest of you, you have to make up your own mind. So generally speaking, because that's useful. Again, we have to be very honest with ourselves and not pretend we're happy all the time when we're not. Because if we deceive ourselves, then really we're not going to make any effort. So really, it's crucial in Brahmin life, I would say, to be almost brutally honest with yourself so that you don't deceive yourself, but at the same time, you don't depress yourself. So when we answer a question like this, we need to look in a loving and detached way. And one of the causes of my unhappiness is I think quite often I am not loving and detached when I look at myself. I think you're only a 6 or a 7, you should be a 9 or a 10. And we actually quite often oppress ourselves by thinking I should be up there and I'm only here. Does that ring bells for anybody? Because we've got the highest in front of us. We've got Daddy Janki and Daddy Gulzar and everybody else there who have been doing it for 75 years and, you know, are way up there. And then it's very easy with comparison to the, oh dear, I'm only here and all the rest of it. And that can then be a source of unhappiness rather than a source of inspiration. So again, so it's useful to know. And then if you can write down then three ways in which you sometimes lose your happiness. It's very easy to lose your happiness. If, you know, for me, if I miss Amrit Vela, I don't feel right for the rest of the day, so I've lost my happiness then. If I judge somebody or I get critical over something, I tend to lose my happiness then. There's lots and lots of things which can take away our happiness. So we don't want to dwell on it, but we want to have a little bit of an understanding of what takes it away. So if you'd like to write down just three things. So reflecting on our behaviour, reflecting on our life, you know, and learning from it is very important, actually. If we don't spend time reflecting and thinking about how we're doing, then, you know, we won't learn and we won't make progress. So everyone's got answers to those three questions, yes? So if you would all like to stand up, please. Everybody stand up. All right, good, because we're not here to sleep, we're here to work. And so you have to turn around, especially people at the front here, find somebody you don't know, you've never spoken to at all, and maybe a bit difficult for the Thai group, but find someone you don't know very well, say hello, and then share with them, so sharing in pairs, your answers to those three questions. So everybody find a partner. And brothers, you can talk with a sister if you want to. And sisters, you can talk with a brother. So you don't have to just be with... Good. So are you going to find somebody?
Yes, I'm trying to. I came a little late. So.
All right. Well, yes. So everybody needs somebody. There should be pairs. So... Are you good? So, all right then. Well, there's four of you there, so you can do two twos, can't you? Yeah. So share in pairs then. So are you two going to share then? You should be sharing in pairs. You're sharing in a group there, but it should be in twos. Yeah. Great, thank you. You can sit down now then. I know there's one or two people who would love to share. So maybe if we could have one brother and one sister who would just like to share their definition of happiness and then three ways in which they lose it. So have we got a brother who will volunteer? I think we've got a brother here. You're going to volunteer, are you? Yes. Right, so we've got one brother here who's going to give us his definition of happiness.
Okay, one second, brother. My definition of happiness is being the real self and experiencing the inner qualities.
Very good. And how do you lose your happiness?
There are three ways in which I lose my happiness. One is when I start procrastinating things, when I start putting things like for later and not doing things on time. That's the first thing when I lose happiness. And after coming to Nyan Sarovar specifically, when I miss Amrit Vela, like here I don't miss, but when I miss Amrit Vela in my place, I start losing that bliss or that higher state of happiness. And last is when I start blaming others, I start losing happiness.
All right, good. Thank you for that. Lovely. And then there's a sister. I know one of you two wants to share, don't you? So we'll give you the opportunity. Who asked for you two? You were both requesting. All right, then. You'd like to stand up then. Me? You were wanting to share. There we go. So your definition of happiness, please.
Obshanti, happiness for me is to be as light as an angel and just move on.
Oh, very good. And what stops you? What are the three things when you lose your happiness?
Okay. The main thing is someone from the past who had created some problem comes back into your life and starts the same thing again, and it's so difficult to be yourself and to be happy and secondly, when too many waste things goes on in your mind. Thirdly, because of this waste, the connecting one, I lose my connection with Baba. I have a miserable Amrit Vela and my Murli, I got no focus. And at the end of the day, Murli is Om Shanti, and I didn't get anything. I feel very depressed. Om Shanti.
Well, thank you very much. So that was very honest sharing there. So, one tip which I've learned, so I have to keep on relearning, is not to identify with the thoughts that you have about, say, missing Murli, because if you get into that, it will depress you, won't it? So it's very important to let go and accept and just maybe fly up. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? Yeah, the full stop. Yeah, because we want to see you flying all the time, don't we? And in terms of that person who's come back into your life, the answer there is to see them as a gift, because they're coming to finish off a lesson that you need to learn. You are trying, yeah. Easier said than done. Yes, applies to us all, I know. Okay, so that's good. So we've made a start. So there are a series of questions, but there's also other little bits in between. So I'm just going to talk a bit about the law of entropy, because this helps me to understand why I am unhappy and what I need to do to become happy again. And really, it's just what Baba has told us. So we have here our consciousness at the highest level when we first come onto the earth. And then over time, and for us that is a long period of time, we gradually go from being soul conscious to body conscious. Now, we know that in theory. In practice, what does it mean? In practice, it means that when we're soul conscious, we're positive, we're loving, we're giving, we're happy, we're peaceful, we're light, we're stable and secure. And then, when we go into body consciousness, when we become just aware of ourselves as a body and nothing else, then all these other things kick in. Suddenly we become fearful, suddenly we become negative, suddenly, or not so suddenly, but over time, and instead of giving, we start taking everything, and instead of being happy, we start to feel sad, and then angry, and rather being light as a feather, we become heavy. And then we become unstable and insecure. So, again, it's useful to have this comparison, and it's useful to bear this in mind any moment in time, because I can ask myself then, how am I feeling? And if I'm feeling heavy, if I'm feeling angry, if I'm feeling fearful, then I know I'm being body conscious, and then I need to make effort to switch that consciousness from being body conscious to being soul conscious. And we're fortunate enough to know the difference between the two, and therefore that gives us choice. We actually have the ability to choose. A lot of people don't have that knowledge, they don't have that contrast, they don't have that spiritual awareness. So for other people, it's not so easy in some ways. Although having said that, their depths of misery will be nothing compared with ours. Because we've been the highest and we've go to the lowest. So the contrast in our minds, in our subconscious, is going to be very great. Would you agree? And this is why we end up coming to the Brahma Kumaris, like I came in 23 years ago, completely stressed out, 6 months off work. I was rock bottom, no energy left mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And I needed this because, you know, there was that driving force inside saying you could be much better than you are. And because we know that, subconsciously, there's that driving force there to make us go back to it. And again, we have the answer on one level. We know it's all about making that connection with Baba and then getting back the awareness, getting back the power, and transforming ourselves. But life gets in the way. And here we go. Let's just put this all up, and then I can. Yeah. Whoops. No. Sorry. Go back one. Yeah. So we are lucky in that we know we've got a choice, and for us, we can choose to be positive. We can choose to be proactive. We can choose to look for solutions to all the challenges which come in our life. If we go the other way, and we're negative and we're reactive, and we focus on the problem, and we put all the blame on other people, you know, if it wasn't for so-and-so, everything would be okay. You know, if I had more money, everything would be all right. If we get into that way of thinking and being, then we're going to feel hopeless and helpless, and really we're in victim mode. And when we're in victim mode, the underlying emotion will be one of fear. And then we'll feel pessimistic. And then if we carry on like that, we're either going to end up feeling sad or mad. Does that make sense? If we stay positive and we're proactive and we focus on solutions and we feel empowered, yes, I know I can do it, there is a way out, that will make us feel much better, and instead of the fear, we'll have love. Love is the opposite of fear. Love is a very powerful, positive emotion, which will help us to overcome everything in life. Then we're going to be optimistic, because we'll feel life is one of abundance, life is good, you know, life is supporting me, the drama is helping me, all those sorts of things will help us to stay happy or become glad. So every day, really every moment of every day, as BKs in particular, but generally in the world, people have a choice. You know, do you want to be glad or do you want to be sad or mad? And that can apply over lots of little things. And for Brahmins, quite often, it's the little things which cause the problems rather than the big things. Because we're aware of grossness, we're aware of Ravan in his gross form, but it's the little things which get us. So I've coped with, you know, lots of different things on a gross level, you know, my car being stolen once, being burgled not so long ago, etc. And even my tickets for here, was booked. I didn't check the tickets, and I was booked for the Wednesday to come on the flight, but I was intending to come on the Thursday. And at, 11 o'clock, one of the sisters phoned up and said, "Why haven't you picked up your visa? You're meant to be on a plane in 2.5 hours. And all those sorts of things I can cope with very easily without getting angry or upset. But one little comment from somebody, or, for example, in the past, if Daddy Janki didn't give me drishti when she gave me my toli, I could end up, in the depths of misery, thinking I'm no good, and all that sort of thing. So, for us, it's the little things. So, with every little thing, again, we need to be checking, how am I feeling? Am I feeling unhappy? Right, I need to stop it. I need to change it. We've all got all the tools because we get them every day in the Murli, and we've all done the positive thinking course and all the other courses which Brahmins provide in order to help us to create our happiness. So there are two other things actually which can cause us unhappiness, and one of those is our beliefs. So, if you have deeply held beliefs, those beliefs will actually be controlling the way you think, controlling the way you behave, controlling the way you see things. And a belief is something which is deeply held, quite often on a subconscious level. We're not even aware that we've got it, quite often. And a lot of those beliefs have been put into us at a very early age by our parents, teachers, and other people. And they can actually end up ruling your life and ruining your life. So, and Baba can say all sorts of wonderful things about us. He can say, we're deity souls. He can say we're going to, be in the golden age. He can say all sorts of wonderful things. And if we don't believe what he says, it's just like water off a duck's back. It will mean nothing. So, and that will mean nothing because we have other beliefs which for us are more real. Does that make sense? So, for me, my chief belief, which I've struggled with and hope I have overcome to a large extent, not completely yet, is feeling completely or believing I am unworthy and I'm not worth a penny, as Baba would say, in the Murlis. If that is a deeply held belief, then it doesn't matter what anybody says or anybody does to the contrary, it will not have a positive effect on you. You will actually misinterpret it. You will twist it around in your head to just make things even worse than they are. So I can remember, for instance, getting this ring, gold ring, many years ago now, and it's different from most other people's. And rather than thinking, wow, aren't I lucky, I've got a ring which is slightly different from other people's, I'm not good enough to have the same one as everyone else, because it didn't have, the Hindi wording on it and things like that. So you can twist anything around in your head and use it against yourself and use it to spoil your happiness or undermine your happiness. So what should have been an occasion of pleasure, not egotistical pride or anything like that, but you could say it was an honor to get it. Instead of it being an honor, I totally, through my way of thinking and my belief system, spoiled it for myself. And, I'm sure I'm not the only one that these sort of things happens to. So if you have any negative thoughts or feelings or beliefs about yourself, then, you have to pull them out and get rid of them, because otherwise you will never be happy. So even though Baba says all these wonderful things, if you've got any negativity inside yourself about yourself, then it will spoil your happiness. Now, the other thing which actually spoils our happiness, maybe it's an opportunity for you to write down any beliefs about yourself, other people, or the world which are holding you back and spoiling your own happiness. If you have any beliefs. If you haven't got any negative beliefs, then that's great. But just reflect for a minute. Like, did everybody put their hand up when Baba said the other day, are you going to be number one? I don't think I put my hand up for that. I thought, actually, no, I'm never going to be number one. I might be, somewhere, but not number one. Because, that's not really part of my own belief system. So if you have any negative beliefs there about yourself or others or the world, if you believe the world is a really harsh place, if you believe people are really mean and nasty, anything like that, then it's going to affect your ability to trust, it's going to affect your ability to love. And it's going to affect your ability to be happy. So if you have come up with any beliefs there, just be aware of them and then take time afterwards to think about them and see what you can do to change them. So use some knowledge, maybe go into Bubba's room and talk to Bubba about how can I get rid of this belief which is actually spoiling my happiness. If you believe I'll never change, I'll never make it, any sort of beliefs like that, they're going to have a very detrimental impact. Okay, so the other thing which can hold us back is what? Any ideas? There's one thing, a lot of us have it deep inside us, and we carry it like a big bag on our shoulders. It weighs us down and it stops us from being happy. Any idea what it might be? You look as if you might know.
Acquired sanskars?
Acquired sanskars, yes. They can definitely... The nasty ones, not the nice ones, yes. Oh, the original ones would be all right, yes. It's the acquired, yeah. Well, the thing I think of in particular, actually, is anger. And most people have got a lot of anger in them, Brahmins in particular. And a lot of it is suppressed. A lot of it isn't even acknowledged. It's denied. And people are going around saying Om Shanti with nice smiles on their faces. But underneath, there's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of regret. There's a lot of pain. A lot of fear, anger, guilt, and shame. And quite often we hope it will go away just through yoga. Yoga can help, but it won't go away if we don't acknowledge that we've got it in the first place. So if you have any anger inside you, it's very important to acknowledge it, accept it, and then get rid of it. If you don't, it will pull you down and it will spoil your happiness. Because any time someone can come along and press a little button, one of your buttons, and before you know it, you're reacting, you're shouting, you're crying, you're doing all sorts of things, because you haven't dealt with all these suppressed emotions inside. Would you agree? Yes? So very important. So there is a course called Overcoming Anger, which quite a lot of centers do. I'd recommend that. But we're not doing an Overcoming Anger course at the moment. So really, we need to realize we can heal, we can change just by letting it go. There's lots of ways in which we can let go. We can look at the past with understanding and see how the situation developed. Maybe understanding the people in the situation, where they were coming from, looking at their backgrounds and having some understanding and compassion for them. We can see the bigger picture, turn the whole thing around and appreciate the lessons to be learned from it. Through that, whatever it was that happened to me when I was young, through the bullying, through all the, the arguments or whatever, it's made me a stronger person, it's made me more tolerant, it's helped me to be more empathetic. There are lots of ways of looking at things to make them better. Another good technique is to write a letter to the person, whether they're living or dead, it doesn't really matter, expressing all the feelings you felt at the time but you never said. Because when we're young and things happen to us, we've got parents or people in authority over us, things can be said and done to us which, you know, totally humiliate us, make us feel really bad, but we have no way of defending ourselves or no way of saying anything to make things better. So it doesn't matter what it was or when it was, we can do something about it. We can write it all down, get it off our chest, and then we can just not send it to the person, because we don't want to make the situation worse, but we can release all the feelings behind the situation which is always bothering us, so that when it arises again, there won't be any reaction, because I've dealt with the feelings. So another good way is something which I did here a few years ago now. It was very powerful. I went into Baba's room, trying to be a peaceful soul, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm Shanti, I'm a peaceful soul, and this little voice inside my head said, you must be joking, you know, you're full of anger. So I thought, okay, right, so I'm going to go back through the whole of my life and remember every single incident where I got angry, and then I'm not going to go into the detail, but I'll just remember it and let go of the feelings connected with it. So this is something that took me 2 hours to do. So I let go of the anger when my grandmother left me out in a pram in the garden, screaming my head off for an hour or two. I was probably only about 15 or 18 months old, I don't know, but I still remember it now. I let go of the anger when some schoolboys deliberately tripped me up on the bus, and I broke my nose. I went through everything I could think of, released the feelings, and then went back and forgave each person. And after 2 hours, I came out flying, feeling really, really good. So, would you like the opportunity to just let go of all the things from the past? Would you like to do it now? It only takes a minute or two. So if you've got a piece of paper that you don't mind writing on and tearing up, because you'll be putting it in the bin when we've finished. So if anybody wants a piece of paper, anyone else wants a piece of paper? It's very simple, very powerful. And doing it here, it's like magic. And the thing is, you must genuinely want to let go of it. If you hold on to it thinking, they deserve it, I'm not going to let go of this anger, then obviously you can't let go and you won't be happy. So it's quite quick, quite painless. Okay, anyone else need one here? So the thing is, we do it in silence. We just go back over time. See if there's anything there which, you know, is still troubling us in a way. Some negative feelings. Yeah, you just write down. You don't have to write down the whole incident. We don't want to bring it up to make it worse. We're bringing it up to let it go. So it's almost like being a detached observer. So we sit as a detached observer, looking back over the past, and noticing if anything is coming up, anything where we feel anger, resentment, pain. Has everyone got a pen? Does anybody need a pen? Oh, in the front. All right. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Thank you. If anyone needs a pen, there is one here. Right. So one pen. All right then, okay, thank you. So imagine you're sitting now with Bubba. We've got Bubba looking down on us anyway. And we just go back over the past. And just write down, you know, let go of the anger when, whatever it might be, just something against my mother, father. You don't have to write down all the details because you'll know them in your head, but you're bringing it up just to write a little something down. So it's almost like smoke appearing before our eyes. It's just coming up, we're observing it, and we're giving it away. I'm giving to Bubba all the feelings connected with whatever it may be. Could be when somebody called you a name. Could be when somebody cheated on you. Could be when somebody hit you. Anything that's left you with pain, hurt, resentment. And then when you've written it all down, you just say to yourself, I give this away with love and forgiveness. And then tear it up. And then, if you'd like to come put it in the bin, and then sit down again after you've done it. There's a little bin. I can take it round if you prefer. Would you prefer me to take it round? Or do you would like to come up? Maybe it's better to come up and then Baba can see you giving it away. So you're just letting it go so that it no longer troubles you again. So there's no rush, just when you're ready, you can just put it in the bin. And then when you've done it, just sit there and appreciate the lightness and the feeling of peace and the feeling of happiness, which comes when you let go of all these things which can trouble us. So when you've done it, just sit there, imagine yourself floating away as light as can be. That's okay, I'll do it, thank you. Free from all that baggage, free from all that burden from the past. Just feel yourself getting lighter and lighter and happier and happier. So in silence, don't talk to anybody yet, just feel how good it is to let go of all that sort of baggage. It's very liberating, very freeing. And it creates space inside for the happiness to grow. I just check, is anyone else who is wanting to put anything in? Alright, so we'll just wait for you then, and then we'll move on. So just visualize yourself from now on being completely free of all of that stuff. Let it go willingly and happily. And it's never coming back. Or if it comes back in any way, it won't affect you. Because you've just given it all away. All the feelings. You can't deny the incidents, but you can get rid of all the feelings which have caused pain. Okay, so now just come back to earth, as it were, with a smile on your face, and just turn to the person next to you and just say, well done, for having the courage to do it, because nearly everybody has. So, and give, shake them by the hand, or pat, give them a pat on the shoulder. Yeah, so well done. Right, come on you two, get your hands going. Yes, come on, shake hands, say well done. Yes, come on you sisters. Good thing to do. Have you shaken hands with somebody and said well done? It doesn't hurt. Because when we're all in it together, it makes things so much better. And this is the lovely thing about Brahma, is we all want to go in the same direction. We all want to be happy, and we're all here to help each other and inspire each other and support each other. So if somebody does something good like this, they deserve a pat on the back or a shake of the hand, don't they? Pardon? Do they? I can't hear. A bit louder. Yeah, that's more like it. It's good. Okay, so now we've got rid of all the baggage. We've got rid of those negative beliefs. We realize we've got the power of choice to make things better. So now we can start enjoying all the good things. So we're going to do several exercises. And the first one is write down three things that you love about Brahmin life. Well, that's okay. You can put whatever you want. Three things that you love about Brahmin life. You've got 1 minute to write them all down. So don't take too long over it. Everyone's got three things. The next one is a point of knowledge that really intoxicates you. Only one point. You're only allowed one point of knowledge that really intoxicates you. It's the point that makes you feel great every time you think of it. Okay, so everyone's got three things they love about Brahmin life and a point of knowledge. So you've got, everyone stand up please and find a new partner to share with, and you've got 1 minute each, just 1 minute each because we have to finish by 12:30, to share those points that you've just come up with. Okay, so find yourself a partner very quickly, and you've got 1 minute each to share those points which you love. So everyone have a partner, a different one from before if possible. So 1 minute left just to finish off. And when you finish sharing, you can sit down again. And just notice how you feel when you share something positive, something good. How do you feel? You feel what, sorry?
More power.
You feel more power, you feel happy, yes. Happy. So notice smiles start to go on your face straight away, don't they? When you start thinking and talking about something which is really good. So that's very important. So it gives us a very practical experience. Think of something good, think of something happy, and it makes you happy. So we've got, so who would like to share, who has, someone who hasn't spoken, their three points about Brahmin life which they love?
Three things of Brahmin life, what I feel is having a big family. of your own. You feel we are all together and children of one father. That's the biggest pleasure I have felt. Second is the purity. You feel pure. You feel nice. You feel you are a self-teacher, knowledge. So you have learned so many things on karmic accounts. You have learned all the three kals, history and geography. So the knowledge really empowers you how to handle your life. That is the best, super things what I have learned from Brahmin life. That is, to love, and the things is that to give, you get much more. By giving, you get much more. So a lot of small tips. There are just hardly 6-7 fundas. If you take care of the 6-7 fundas, you have made your life. You don't need many fundas. You don't need to study a lot. But 6-7 strong principles, and you go ahead, and the life is just beautiful. I'm just a one-year-old baby. I feel very bad that I've come so late, but still I'm very lucky that I have been part of this family.
All right, thank you. And just notice what you said there, you feel bad.
Yes.
Now, that's going to spoil your happiness. So you must not identify with that feeling at all.
Yes.
All right, change that. I mean, even Daddy Janki had that feeling because she came a year later than the rest, and it still haunts her to some extent, you know. So you have to let go of that. So letting go and accepting the drama the way it is the best way, because otherwise you're going to pull yourself down with that thought, because comparison will come in. Comparison is a killer, you know. So I've been around 23 years, and you could say, wow, but on the other hand, it's not the number of years you're in Gyan, it's what you do with the time in Gyan. And you could do a lot in a short time compared with some old plodders who go around like this. So there's a whole variety, and whatever part you have, it's perfect.
Perfect, accurate.
Yeah, so how can you feel bad about something which is perfect? How can you feel bad about something which is perfect?
How do you feel? How,
what? No, you're saying you feel bad about it, but it's perfect that you should come now, so you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Yes. You have to accept everything.
Yeah. Yeah, almost as good. It may be better. Yeah. So it's taken me many years to get this far. I couldn't say Buddha Goose when I started as BK. Anyway, what about a brother then who hasn't spoken?
I like what he says.
Yeah, well, how about you? Isn't it?
I talked a lot, you know, so, and I was in Shantivan yesterday. I felt bad. I missed Surya's class. So if anyone wants to sit for lunch, we'll talk about Surya's class yesterday. That would be great. But other than that, I nominate my brother here. He's going to share why he likes.
Okay. What I like about Brahmin life is Raja Yoga. I learned to meditate, really, for the first time when I came to Brahma Kumaris. Before that, ever since I was a small vehicle, I was already meditating, but not calling it meditation. Before I went to sleep, I was trying to talk to God, but I didn't know the method. And I learned Brahma Kumaris to really meditate with Raja Yoga, and it's brilliant. It's really opened my third eye, and it's really strong. And the second thing is the purity, also thinking of yourself and others in a pure way is making it very strong. And third thing is the soul consciousness, because soul consciousness makes us one big yakya, one big family, going beyond countries, backgrounds, everything. So that's what I like about those three things in Brahmin life. And intoxication point, yeah, intoxication point for me is one of the eight powers I learned when I came into Gyan, is the power of cooperation. makes everything happen very lightly if we do it together. So, Om Shanti.
Yeah, thank you. That was great. Okay, so time is moving on. We have to finish at by 5:30. So the final exercise that we'll do, if that's okay with you, is writing a letter to Baba, or which basically will mean just asking him, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness? So if you just write that down, dear Baba, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness? And then meditate on that for a minute, having written it down. Everyone's clear, so you're writing it down. Dear Baba, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness? Thinking about it for a minute, so you're opening yourself up to Baba's touchings. And then, after a minute of silence, don't write anything for the first minute, change your hand over, change the pen over to the other hand. So you're using your non-writing hand. So if you're right-handed, you use your left hand. If you're left-handed, you use your right hand. And then just write down whatever comes into your mind. Okay? And this is quite a useful thing, because it stops you analyzing, and it allows Baba to express what he wants to tell you without you questioning it or interfering with it. So 1 minute of silence just to ask Baba, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness? And then you write the reply, starting off, dear child, or your name, whatever it may be. I can imagine what Baba might be saying to Ender. Dear Ender, keep on doing what you're doing and everything will be fine. But he might say something else. He might say, make sure you give a class next year when you come here and inspire everybody. Yourself or asking Baba, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness? And then we're letting Baba's thoughts or energy come through, and you're writing down the answer with your other hand. Has it worked? Yes. Have you got interesting messages? With the opposite hand. Yeah. Well, it does work. We've used the opposite hand. I know you might find it difficult to read your writing, having done it, but yes, it is. It's opening you up and allowing you to use the less rational part of yourself. So has everybody finished, or are you still doing it? Everyone finished? So just share with the person next to you anything you'd like to say about the message which came to you. So just share with somebody near you. You don't have to get up as such. But if you're not sitting next to somebody, then move towards someone. Just share in pairs what's come out. So is there someone who would like to share their letter with everybody, someone who hasn't spoken already. It looks like you'd like to share your letter? Yeah, okay, good. You'd like to come up the front. So we've got a volunteer here who's kindly agreed to share her letter. So what's your name?
Tabitha.
There you go, Tabitha.
Hello. I got, dearest child, just forgive. Sit in Baba's lap and take sustenance. Live with love, mercy and compassion.
Lovely. Does that make a lot of sense to you?
Not the writing, but the message.
The message, yeah. Thank you. And is there a brother who would like to share? One who hasn't shared already? Anyone on the back row there? The back row. Would you like to? I think, smile on your face. You can come down here. Be soul conscious. If I have to do it, why shouldn't you? So what's your name?
I actually liked what Valerie shared with me, but the message that I got was be loving, and the picture of a heart came in my head as I was using my left hand.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to say about that?
I also liked the message I heard from the Valerie. He said, take it easy, or just touch me.
Thank you. Okay, so there's lots of other things like this which we could do or you could do by yourself. So in the time that we've had, really we're just like touching on things. So a good one to do would be to think of a time, one of your happiest moments in Brahmin life, and what made it so special, and how could you have more moments like that in the future. So anything that which reconnects you with all the good things, all the happy things, is very important. And then remembering some of these things, especially when we're in challenging times, you know, when we're not feeling so well or we feel Maya's got hold of us in some way, to bring out these points and remember them and then use them. Remembering we have a choice. We've got God on our side, so, you know, he says take one step of courage and he'll automatically give us whatever we need. So if we can make that switch in our head, as soon as we see ourselves going from happiness into sadness or unhappiness, then just stop it and then, you know, reconnect with the good. So these are some points which I'll just briefly mention, which are tips which help me. But I'm sure you can all come up with your own list. I mean, the first one, obviously, is to be soul conscious as much as we can. Follow Srimat, because if we don't, we're going to end up feeling unhappy. Then it's crucial to be kind to yourself. Not beat yourself up. Not feel bad when something doesn't go the way you want it to. Look after your health. I think that's very important, because if you neglect your health, then you're going to end up ill, and then, you know, you're not going to be as happy as you could be. And then, very importantly, do what you love, and love what you do. Never do anything resentfully. Never do anything grudgingly. If it's something that doesn't really interest you, and you don't feel you want to do it, then it's better not to do it than to do it with bad feeling, because then that's going to spoil your happiness. Replace force and fear with love and encouragement. You know, so sometimes, you know, you say, I should do this, I must do that, and I'm useless at this. We beat ourselves up, and then that drags us down. So rather than do that, we need to talk to ourselves in a loving way and in an encouraging way. So it's okay, you know, you're doing all right, don't worry, we'll get there in the end. Then make the most of your specialities. If you've been given a speciality, it has to be expressed, it has to be used, because it's for the service of the world. If you suppress it or ignore it, so I know some Brahmins, for instance, who used to be great musicians or artists, they come into Brahmin life and think they shouldn't do these things anymore, and they end up suppressing part of themselves and denying their talents, and you then end up feeling unhappy and unfulfilled because the gift that's been given to you, you're not making the most of. So it's very important to honor and use the gifts which you've been given, because they're not yours. You know, you can't claim any credit for them. They've been given to you to help others. Then crucially, be non-judgmental, both about yourself and other people. As soon as we judge, criticize, complain or blame, we bring ourselves down. The energy goes down and we go into sadness and sorrow. And then, again, very importantly, change I and mine into yours. In other words, give everything to Baba. So it's not my service, you know, it's Baba's service. Again, that is very important. Not worrying then, if only 10 people turn up to a course or whatever, you know, it's very easy to, if not careful, blame yourself, beat yourself up, think, you know, we're not doing the right thing. It is what it is, and ultimately, Baba is in charge, not me. So, we need to relieve ourselves of that sense of responsibility that it's all down to me, because that will crush us, as I know from myself. Then, put a full stop to all those waste thoughts. No more whys, no more hows, no more whens, no more what. Because that just opens up a door to confusion and unhappiness. And then, so disidentify from everything, especially your thoughts. So the other morning, you know, after Baba came, the morning after, I woke up and my thoughts were, you know, oh, well, that was a bit of a downer, you know, all sorts of things like that. He didn't say anything particularly new or anything like that. It was just my sort of subconscious mind or negativity just running its course without me creating or controlling it. I thought, hang on a minute, where's all this coming from? You know, this is going to lead nowhere. It's just going to make me feel bad. And then I corrected it and changed it and created something new. Because quite often there are things coming through our mind which we just latch on to without really being aware of what we're doing. So very important to check those thoughts and change those thoughts so they don't make us unhappy. And then always see the benefit in everything. So whatever is going on is good. It's not bad. It's good. It's coming to help me. Coming to help me learn, coming to help me grow. And then having an attitude of gratitude, to be grateful for so many things, rather than concentrating on what I haven't got. And so many people do that. You can transfer it in, you know, from outside. You know, I didn't have a big car, I didn't have a big house. You can transfer it and think, oh, well, my stage isn't as good as so-and-so's, or whatever. You know, and in fact, we're very lucky to be here. We're very lucky to have all the opportunities that we've got. And when we think like that, rather than the opposite way, it makes us feel good, makes us feel happy. So on that note then, I'll stop because it's 12:30 approximately, because all the clocks are different, aren't they, in India, in Gyansarova. So you're not quite sure what the time is. But anyway, thank you for coming. And I hope it's been helpful. Has it been helpful? Yeah? All right, so thank you. There we go. So we'll have a minute of silence. And then... actually, come across this book. I should mention this book to you, Living Our Values, An Inside Out Approach to Make Your Life Better. Basically, it's the old Living Values guidebook, updated with lots of new workshops in it and reflective questions and things like that. And it's got a lovely cover on it there, which was divinely inspired through Sister Jenti. So you've got the soul here. The box is the box of limitations, whether it's your nationality, your culture, your creed, or whatever it may be, and we're breaking out of the box. So this is a perfect book to give to professionals, VIPs, anybody who's interested in changing the world. And it's been highly recommended by lots of different well-known people in the UK. And there is one chapter on happiness in here, because it's one of the 12 values which every society needs in order to thrive. So I just mentioned that in case you haven't come across it. So it does, yeah, there's a load of workshops in the back. And in the middle bit, it's ways to transform your thinking. And the first part is defining all the values. Pardon? It's 900 rupees in Global Office. Yeah. Sorry? Well, £9 or... Okay. But, all right. So, 1 minute silence, and then we'll go to lunch.